Nemoto presents Theater for Beginners. Eugene Ionesco, The Absurd Made Human. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 6 minutes. Eugene Ionesco found the absurdity of life not in grand philosophical statements but in the petty routines of everyday people. A man and woman sit in armchairs, trading banal phrases about the weather and grocery prices, until, to their amazement, they realize they're husband and wife. This iconic scene from Ionesco's first play, The Bald Soprano, 1949, is typical of his approach. He loved to expose how empty and automatic our social dialogues can be. In his hands, the clichés and small talk of bourgeois life become hilariously meaningless, and then, suddenly, menacingly alien. Romanian-born but writing in French, Ionesco was a founding figure of what Martin Eslin later called the theater of the absurd. He didn't set out to write absurdism as a doctrine, in fact, he disliked the label. But he did dramatize the absurdity of the human condition in ways that audiences found both comic and unsettling. While Beckett, his contemporary, tackled existential dread in a bleak, minimalist way, Ionesco brought a playful, satirical energy. He once said he wasn't attacking the existence of meaning per se, but mocking our pretensions and the collapse of communication. He preferred the term theater of derision, deriding the absurdities he saw in society. Ionesco's journey to this style was itself absurdly poetic. The legend goes that he was trying to learn English from a primer, and the textbook sample sentences, "The ceiling is up, the floor is down, Mr. Smith has a head, Mrs. Smith has a head," struck him as hilarious and haunting. These banal phrases made it into The Bald Soprano, which he subtitled an anti-play. In it, two couples engage in pseudo-conversation that gradually breaks down into nonsense and nursery rhymes. Language itself deconstructs on stage. By the end, the characters are just spouting syllables. It was a direct assault on the idea that language reliably conveys meaning, a very post-World War II anxiety, when propaganda and slogans had shown how words could deceive or empty out. Many of Ionesco's other plays take a similar approach. Start from a recognizable human situation, then push it until it cracks and reveals an absurd truth beneath. In The Lesson, 1951, a polite professor gives a private lesson to an eager young pupil. As the lesson progresses, his language of pedagogy turns authoritarian and nonsensical, and he eventually murders the pupil with a barrage of words, a dark allegory of power dynamics and indoctrination, delivered with eerie humor. In The Chairs, 1952, an elderly couple set up chairs for an audience of invisible guests, awaiting a grand orator who will deliver the old man's profound message to the world. When the orator arrives, he turns out to be a deaf mute who can only utter gibberish. The couple's urgent life mission evaporates into unintelligible babble, and they leap to their deaths, a tragicomic vision of life's ultimate futility and the breakdown of communication at the moment of truth. Perhaps Ionesco's most famous play is Rhinoceros, 1959. On an ordinary day in a small town, a rhinoceros runs by, an alarming but apparently isolated incident. Then it happens again. Slowly, the townspeople all begin to turn into rhinoceroses. One by one, they grow horns and stampede with the herd, until only one man, Beringer, an everyman often seen as Ionesco's semi-hero across multiple plays, resists the transformation. Rhinoceros is widely read as an allegory for the rise of totalitarianism and mass hysteria. Ionesco had witnessed the creep of fascism and communism in Europe, and here he captured the terrifying speed with which ordinary people can abandon their humanity and reasoning to join a mindless herd. It remains his most popular work. Importantly, Ionesco delivers this message not through a preachy political drama but through absurd humor and nightmare imagery. The absurd becomes the vehicle for a piercing human truth, our vulnerability to groupthink, the fragility of individuality. Culturally, Ionesco straddled worlds, a Romanian in Paris, a skeptical humanist who saw both the tragedy and comedy of mid-century life. He was elected to the Académie Française in 1970, a sign that the once shocking anti-play writer had become an acknowledged master of French theater. By then, the influence of his style was everywhere, from Broadway, which in the 1960s took up absurdist hits, to college drama clubs. His characters, the befuddled everyman Beringer, the pompous Mr. and Mrs. Smiths, became archetypes of modern anxiety and folly. watching or reading Ionesco, one often swings between laughter and a kind of existential unease. He sets us up to laugh at the ridiculous formalities of, say, a middle-class dinner party, then in the next instant one character might start spouting gibberish or growing a horn, and we're confronted with a sense of how fragile is reality. He exposes how much of what we consider normal is actually absurd if you step back, or how absurdity is our normal. The question that lingers after an Ionesco play is often, are we any different from those characters? We chuckle at the couple in The Bald Soprano when they discover they're married. How could they not recognize each other? But Ionesco is nudging us. In our own lives, how much do we really communicate with those closest to us, and how much do we just parrot routines? When everyone on stage turns into a rhinoceros, we have to ask, what's the rhinoceros in our world today? What mass movement or ideology might we be heedlessly following? Ionesco's theater, the theater of absurd made human, challenges us to see the surreal in the ordinary and to realize that the line between a cozy living room chat and complete nonsense is thinner than we like to think. In that realization, perhaps, lies a warning and a weird kind of comfort. If life is absurd, at least we can laugh at the joke.